Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Viva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Aaron Chadbourn. I am in for Grace. Thanks so much for being with us here on the Grace Curley Show. Now, whenever I need something broken down, you can either ask someone who knows more than you or ask someone who's younger than you. And in this case, I think Emma Foley does both. Emma Foley, fan favorite here at the Grace Curley Show. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Aaron. And honestly, this story, the subject of this story is a little before my time, but I did my research and hopefully we can bring it to light.
When you say a little before your time, you've only known Diddy as Diddy, Sean Diddy. You don't remember the Puff Daddy days?
I know P. Diddy.
Puffy days?
Yeah, actually here in the studio, someone referred to him as Puff Daddy a couple weeks ago, and I was like, whoa, they're the same person? So I do know his protege, Usher, and then his later protege, Justin Bieber, which we will get to later in the story.
So here's the thing. I'm on X today, formerly known as Twitter. Is that like when Prince changed his name to a symbol? And so the artist formerly known as Prince, but it was that symbol. And so he was the art. Like it was, I don't know. But so X, formerly known as Twitter. And trending today, my trends are Diddy, Jay-Z, Justin Bieber, Jeffrey Epstein. So just break it down for us. What is going on?
All right. So on Monday, two of Sean Diddy Combs' homes were raided as part of an ongoing investigation looking into years, possibly decades, of sex trafficking, possibly of minors, and drug trafficking. So he was on his way to Miami as, I guess, part of a planned spring break. He's got a lot of kids. And while he was gone, the Department of Homeland Security raided his home in L.A. Reporters said that the speed at which they were doing this must mean that they were afraid that evidence would be destroyed. So they needed to collect evidence. They were looking for phones, anything that might have video clips, any narcotics that were out. And so the search warrant is out of the Southern District of New York. And the question is, where is P. Diddy now?
Where is P. Diddy? Because I know yesterday they were tracking his private plane, which that's one of my favorite things that these Twitter and X citizen journalists do, is they actually go look at the call signs. They figure out, you know, they were tracking Taylor Swift to see if she'd make it back in time for the halftime show, like, or for the Super Bowl for Travis Kelce. Has Diddy been found?
So he was spotted in Miami, but some claim that his private jet was headed towards the Caribbean. And then suddenly it was off the public domain. Now, you can request that your jet is taken off the public domain. But remember, Taylor Swift was requesting this and it was a lot harder for her. So now we don't know where his jet is. It's probably not in the United States. He might be in Miami, but three phones were seized there. So he looks sweaty. He looks like he's pacing around in these videos, and he probably is. So he's probably not enjoying this spring break. Now, his lawyer has spoken out and has called this a witch hunt. So they called this an unprecedented ambush paired with an advanced coordinated media presence. They had a helicopter flying right before the raid. So it looks like somebody was tipped off about this. A premature rush to judgment of Mr. Combs. It's nothing more than a witch hunt based on meritless accusations made in civil lawsuits. There have been five lawsuits against Sean Diddy Combs. One is from a former partner, Cassandra Ventura. That was back in November. And that was due to the Kathy Hochul extended the statute of limitations in New York. We also saw that used for the E. Jean Carroll Trump case. So Ventura used that to bring to light her accusations from years and years ago. There are three other women, and then his former producer, Rodney Jones, a.k.a. Little Rod, has accused him of similar... similar events and occurrences.
Is it Little Rod or Lil Rod?
Lil Rod.
Lil, like Lil John, Lil.
Yeah, yeah.
Nas X.
It's a common in the
it's a common
rap
prefix.
Culture.
Rap prefix. So here's the thing. I still don't really understand what's going on, other than I do probably believe that P. Diddy is involved in some sort of illicit evidence. But it is interesting that he got the Roger Stone treatment with these raids, right? I thought they only reserved those for people who are threatening democracy.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's the Biden DOJ. But here you have, this is the Department of Homeland Security. It's the Investigations Transnational Organized Crime Division. So they... they're the team that handles human trafficking, terrorism, narcotics smuggling, and other organized criminal activity. So they are suspecting, and they claim that there is probable cause. That's why they're able to raid his home, that there's evidence of some sort of organized crime unit, whether that's drugs, trafficking, minors, something along those lines.
Or all of the above. Which all is what I'm
yes,
it
that's
is.
It's very possible.
Because here's what happens. These people get famous, then they get rich. It's kind of like Michael Jackson. Then they live in their own little world, in their own cocoon, in their own bubble, and they just move further and further out of mainstream. They get away with all this stuff, and then they think they're invincible, and they just go further and further down the rabbit hole, which, again, I don't know. Hopefully it's all false, but it sounds like there's credibility here, and it sounds like it's being serious. Go ahead.
Yeah, so there have been some videos resurfacing on X of 10, 15 years ago when P. Diddy started to kind of take Justin Bieber under his wing. And we have a couple of the audio clips. It sounds extremely creepy. Usher also comes up. So what happens is...
Usher signed Justin Bieber originally, right? There was this weird fight that broke out between Usher and, I want to say, like, Ellen DeGeneres and Justin Timberlake. And they were all trying to sign Justin Bieber when he was first discovered on YouTube.
Yeah, so it's kind of like this Socrates, Plato, Aristotle thing. You've got P. Diddy, and then you have Usher, and then you have Justin Bieber. So P. Diddy signed Usher when he was 14, so actually took custody of him, as he admits in this clip, and then he tried to do the same with Justin Bieber. This is cut 17.
Justin, you ever seen the movie 48 Hours? Right now, he's having 48 hours with Diddy, him and his boy. They're having the times of their lives, like, you know, where we hanging out and what we doing. We can't really disclose, but, it's definitely a 15-year-old's dream. I have been given custody of him. You know, he signed to Usher.
He signed to Usher.
I had legal guardianship of Usher when you know, he did his first album. I did Usher's first album. I don't have legal guardianship of him, but for the next 48 hours, he's with me. So, and we're going to go full crazy.
We're going crazy.
So, Aaron, I don't know about you, but during those safe environment talks back in grade school, the number one thing was, if you can't disclose what you're doing with the man who's at least 30 years older than you, it's probably unsafe. So I'm wondering, where are Justin's parents?
You know what it reminds me of? Remember when Macaulay Culkin was hanging out at the Neverland Ranch? Like, isn't it giving that vibe?
It's definitely...
Are you too young for that?
Yeah, that's also before my time.
But I mean, Michael Jackson used to have these sleepovers for children, and Macaulay Culkin, there's this movie, Emma, that you may have heard of called Home Alone.
Yes. Yeah.
That he started. And around that time when he was famous, Michael Jackson had this whole stunted, like, you know, forever child thing going on. And he had the Neverland Ranch, which was basically like this theme park. And so kids would go there. And Macaulay Culkin would stay over, and later it didn't go so well for either of them.
Yeah,
but that is the vibe that I'm getting here.
Yes, yeah. And then this next clip, you'll notice he is promising Justin things years in advance. So Justin's 15 at this time. It sounds like he was with one friend, no other adults. But now he's promising him a Lamborghini. This is cut 18.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to be driving this next year.
Yeah, when you get 16, you come down and you got to, you know, wear your seat.
I mean, I'm 15. You can ride in the passenger seat. I got my permit. Not yet. 16.
Slow down. Let's slow down, Justin.
Okay.
Let's slow down. Okay.
One step at a time.
But yeah, the keys is yours.
So one possible theory about this is that the accusations against P. Diddy were that he would use young celebrities to kind of peddle influence and get people into these crazy parties. Prince Harry also came up in Lil Rod's suit, where he would use the royals, he would use people like Justin Bieber, Usher, to bring other people in because they were these massive pop culture celebs.
Wow. Prince Harry, like, you brought it back to the royal family. I think you get the award of the day, Emma, for being able to connect it back. Prince Harry. Now, would you say that Prince Harry, like, that's a worse look for him? Or would you say what's going on now with the royals is a worse look? Because I think there's something very, I mean, maybe they're being nice in trying to weasel their way into this Princess Kate chemotherapy story. But the impulse of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle to make everything about themselves. And like, they've even done it here with the Diddy story. Like, you got to have a Prince Harry angle.
I think if you can add Prince Harry's name to your lawsuit somehow, it'll end up high in the search algorithm. So this is actually helping Lil Rod. But yeah, as far as, I'm not a fan of Prince Harry, Meghan Markle, all this stuff is coming out about how they're super estranged. They only found out about the Kate Middleton announcement on TV. I think the worst look for them is that Meghan Markle's coming out with some sort of like lifestyle, like vegan hand cream brand. And she announced it the same week as Kate Middleton's announcing her sickness. That's probably the worst look for them right now. I think that this particular name mention that's in the suit, it's not going to be huge deal for Prince Harry. It looks like he was kind of used, and I think he's probably fine in this situation.
So I don't want to go down a rabbit hole now that you've mentioned the royal family, but there is this one corner of the internet that thinks that the Kate Middleton video, the one where she finally talks about what's going on and her diagnosis and her treatment, that they suspect that it's AI, with the evidence being that it's in the same garden wearing the same clothes as a place that she was 8 years ago. And the bench, there's some things weird about the bench and her hands. Should I be following this story, Emma, or do we just need to leave poor Princess Kate alone?
I'm not on that corner of the internet. I know there are things about whether her hand moved or something like that.
The ring disappeared from it. Yep.
You know, if I were royal, I would play with the public. I would totally use AI to make fake videos and release them. But that's just me, and I'm not a royal, so I can't speak for them.
Because your goal would just be to stay in the limelight. Well, their goal is to, like, be believed.
Sure.
Well, Emma Foley, thanks for breaking down all things pop culture. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk with you again on Friday, right, Emma?
Yes, for last call. Looking forward to it.
Hey, Emma, have you ever stayed at the Nassau Beach Inn?
I have not. I have heard great things about it, though, and I've seen videos on our socials. So everyone should follow our socials, Howie Carr Radio Network on Instagram, to see videos of the Nassau Beach Inn. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, well, I think I'm probably getting the timing wrong on when I'm supposed to talk about it, but I think it's a place that's worth checking out. So I really encourage people to go to NassauBeachInn.com. And I think the new rates they have for the spring are awesome. All right, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls. 844-500-4242 here on The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I think we should ask Howie, Jared. Maybe ask Taylor to do it when Howie comes on. I regret we're not going to have the car crossword. I'd love to know what Howie's favorite P. Diddy song is. Do you think he has one?
I doubt it.
put in that request. I would also like to know what Taylor's favorite Diddy song is. So make sure you ask that. I am Aaron Chadbourne, filling in for Grace here on The Grace Curley Show, part of the Howie Carr Radio Network. Thanks so much for being with us today. There is a rumor out there that Kristen Welker misled her audience about her knowledge of the Ronna McDaniel hiring. Shocking. I would be shocked. She said on Meet the Press on Sunday that she was not involved in her hiring. She didn't know anything about it, but it sounds like she was part of a meeting with Ronna McDaniel before the interview while they were negotiating it. And she was present with one of the NBC News executives who was negotiating the hiring. So Carrie Boudreaux-Brown, who met with McDaniel mid-February. Huh. Interesting. The plot thickens. Kristen Welker, who's so quick to try to, and they're, of course, NBC's defending her, saying she was insulated from it. Again, kudos to Chuck Todd for setting off this firestorm. Again, what he's objecting to wasn't actually Ronna McDaniel being paid or Ronna McDaniel being a guest on Meet the Press. He was objecting to both happening at the same time, which does raise some ethical questions, But the other personalities took it and ran with it. And so Ronan McDaniel now out of a contract at NBC News, which leads us to today's poll question. Today's poll question brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, for the last time, what is today's poll question and what are the answers this far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is where do you think Ronan McDaniel will land next? Running a veterans home, running a national sports association, running for office, running a Ponzi scheme, running a political action committee, running from the law, or nowhere?
I was thinking to myself that George Santos is actually doing several of these, right? He's running from the law and he's running for office. He's arguably running a Ponzi scheme. I think she most likely ends up as some sort of political consultant, political action committee, fundraiser, political class. That's where I think she lands.
That's currently at 35%, which is good for second place. 43% believe nowhere. She is canceled. 14% say running for office. 2% for running from the law, running a Ponzi scheme, or running a national sports association. 1% say running a veterans home.
I'm always a bridesmaid. I seem to pick the number two answer most days here, even though I help come up with these questions and the answers. But again, that just shows the diversity of thought in the Grace Curley Show audience, something one cannot say for the audience of the Rachel Maddow Show, which I did like the texters earlier who were texting in. They were mad that I was even talking about her. They're like, no one cares about Rachel. But you need to understand what's at stake here. When NBC lets Rachel and Lawrence O'Donnell and Joy Reid and others call the shots of how they're going to cover the mainstream news, I think it matters. And I think people ought to know about it.
I'm yelling at the clouds.
Do you think today will be the end of Ronan McDaniel? Like, is she still going to be interesting tomorrow? She was never interesting to begin with for me, though. Like, I never found her interesting. I do find this episode interesting and foreseeable. And I think that she should have seen it coming. And so it's really her that's responsible for all of this. I think so. Yeah, I'll be back the next 2 days covering for Grace. I think I'm going to let Ronan McDaniel go unless there's a new development. So we learned something more about how much money she got. Or someone who lied about the situation, like it seems that Kristen Welker is doing. I think that's when I'll wade back in. But other than that, I think I've gotten it out of my system. Does that a fair rule?
I could agree to that. Yeah.
Because like I felt the same way about Claudine Gay. Like there was a period of time I had a lot that I needed to say about her, and then it ran its course. I got out of my system. Like we're good to go. And I don't think that's true for some people that are still incensed that she was dismissed. And so it's funny. It's like you could be at different camps about it. But I'm willing to let go. What do they say? Let go and let God. That's the plan here. I am not done, however, on Karine Jean-Pierre. So I do want to come back to her. I think we might need to play some of those clips again because her calling into that radio station and being shocked that anyone had questions about Joe Biden's mental acuity, I think everyone needs to hear that. So we'll revisit that. And I haven't gotten to yet, and I hope to do it when we come back from break. I want to look into this woman that RFK Jr. has selected as his running mate, her background, where she comes from, whether we think it's a sign that RFK Jr. is going to take more votes from Biden or for Trump. I think based on who he picked, I'm guessing more from Biden. He seems to be courting the Democrat vote. So we'll dig into Nicole Shanahan, what her background is, what it says about the RFK candidacy. We'll play a couple clips from her past. And we'll take your calls. 844-500-4242. It's the number here on The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne in for Grace. Call in. We'll talk to you soon.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I am Aaron Chadbourne in for Grace. Thanks so much for being with us today. 844-500-4242, the number if you want to join the conversation. So I've been waiting, Jared. I don't know if you were excited to find out who RFK Jr. was going to pick as his running mate. There were rumors that it might be a sports figure. Could be someone that we know. And then he announced it's not Aaron Rodgers. It is a woman named Nicole Shanahan. And I think I speak for everybody when I say, who? Like, I'd never heard of her before. Had you ever heard of her before?
No.
Okay, Nicole Shanahan. So I was like, okay, who is she? And then it turns out she's a big donor to the Super PAC that supports him. She was one of the big donors behind that Super Bowl ad that got RFK Jr.'s family all mad at him because he used a lot of the JFK, Kennedy, 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 all that theme song from the JFK presidential run. The Kennedy family, the Shrivers, everyone was mad at him. But so she's a big donor, and I'm like, well, who the heck is she? And so it turns out she's got a lot of money, and I'm like, okay, well, she's like a tech entrepreneur. She's an IP specialist, maybe a lawyer. Like, cool, like she's got this IP firm, tech, like what is she? But it turns out she made her money the old-fashioned way, Jared. Do you know how she made her money?
Didn't she marry
Sergey Brin, one of the founders of Google? And so much like the former Mrs. Jeff Bezos, she has a fortune and she can do whatever she wants with it. Good for her. They have a child together. They were married. She, you know, got her settlement. And so she's got billions of dollars. And she has some interesting theories on the role of wealth and what it's for. But let's go ahead. Let's figure out what can we tell? What can we tell about this choice about that RFK Jr. has picked for his vice president and what it means for which voters he's courting? Let's start with Cup 5.
Even though I am leaving the party, I believe I am taking the best ideals and impulses with me.
Leaving which party? Leaving the Republican Party? Oh, no, leaving the Democrat Party. But she's taking the best ideas and impulses with her. What are those? Let's go Cut 6.
I worry for the party's overwhelming interest in elitism, celebrity, and winning at all cost. And I worry that they do it even if that means turning a blind eye on the issues that they all know to be true.
Huh. They're too obsessed. They're too obsessed with celebrity. They're too obsessed with elitism. Unlike me, a Silicon Valley billionaire that's teaming up with a member of the Kennedy family to try to get attention for the issues that I care about, they're willing to sell out. Interesting arguments. Interesting arguments. I hope she believes them, and that's fine. Let's see. Is she persuasive? We'll go to Cut 7.
If you are one of those disillusioned Republicans, I welcome you to join me, a disillusioned Democrat, in this movement to unify and heal America.
What's funny to me, Jared, is this is kind of the opposite of Bernie Sanders, right? So Bernie Sanders was an independent, so he was not enrolled in the Democratic Party, but he was running for the Democrat nomination for president. Nicole Shanahan, let me get her last name right. Nicole Shanahan, she is a registered Democrat, but she's running as an independent. Why don't these people just run for what they actually are? Yeah, I don't quite get it. But she's speaking from the heart. Let's take Cut 8.
It is an America where everyone who works hard can afford a decent life. It is an America where people of all races receive fair and equal treatment under the law. It is an America whose freedoms are the envy of the world. It is an America with honest and transparent government institutions. Can you imagine a country whose government doesn't lie to you?
Wait, is she accusing the Biden administration of lying to us? Is that what you heard? Imagining a country where the government doesn't lie to you? It is interesting because she's taken a lot of flack because both she and RFK Jr. have called out some misinformation from the government on vaccinations, long-term effects, things that haven't been studied. And I think it'll be interesting. Both her involvement and RFK Jr. taking votes away from Biden have made it quite likely that Biden and his team are preparing to attack them. So this is going to be interesting to watch, particularly since he did pick a Democrat as his running mate. A lot of people thought it would hurt Trump more than Biden. I think now it's going after Biden voters. I think it suppresses his turnout because I think there are a lot of people that don't want to vote for Biden. They might be Democrats. They might be Democrat leading. And so I think that opens it up. All right. Interested in your thoughts. 844-500-4242. That's 844-500-4242. The number here at the Grace Curley Show. Let's go ahead and talk to John. John, welcome to the Grace Curley Show.
Hello.
Hey, John. You're on the air at the Grace Curley Show.
Hey, Aaron. How you doing? This is in regards to Baltimore with the ship incident. I work underneath the Tobin Bridge every day, driving in and out of there. I've seen all types of vessels, the car carriers, the LNG, the fuel tankers that go down to the airport that drop off fuel. And every one of them has a tug escort. Now, looking at that, it's in the middle of the night, pitch dark, and there's no tug escort. And I'm curious why the maritime industry doesn't have regulations where that would be mandated for incidents just like this where they lost power and smashed into the column. Do you know anything about that rule?
You know, it's a good question. And I was having that conversation with Taylor yesterday. We were discussing why it was that they didn't have a tug because it seemed like they should have. I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with the Port of Baltimore and how it's set up. Here in Portland, Maine, we do have rules about that, too. I think they do require that they have a local pilot on board, but not necessarily a tug. So I don't know why or why not, but good thing to look into. And thanks for the call, John. And it's something I'll try to learn more about at break. But they did say that they had a local pilot on board. And what I was hearing them describe it is those local pilots, they have the maps memorized. They know exactly how everything is. They know what the geography is, the topography of the underground, where to go, where not to go. So it sounds like they didn't have expertise, but I don't know why there wasn't a tug in this case. And so I don't know if it's how far out they were. Could be about the opening of that port or going under that bridge. But it's a fair question and one that I've heard asked, and certainly an important one. All right, for anyone that didn't hear me play him earlier, I do want to go back to Karine Jean-Pierre because, again, she's the White House press secretary. She's meant to be talented. And I think these clips, they really speak for themselves. So KJP goes down campaigning with Biden in North Carolina, thinks she's going to have this like easy softball conversation on a local radio station. And instead, she gets Mark Garrison, who asks the question that's on everyone's mind. Cut 10.
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though. They all said, would you please just ask her, does the president have dementia? And so before I move on from that, does he?
Mark, I can't even believe you're asking me this question. That is a credibly offensive question to ask.
But you know people ask it.
No. You're taking us down this rabbit hole. Let me be very clear about this.
I think it's great. He's dead on. I don't know. I got to learn more about Mark Garrison because I think he's right. It is the question that people want to know, and he didn't let it go. And she says, oh no, you try to take us down this rabbit hole. I'm going to answer it. Oh, no, he wants you to answer it. He wants you to go down the rabbit hole. He's saying to you, it's not offensive. It's what people are asking, right? Like, that's what people want to know. Let's play the whole segment, though. Like, go with she says, oh, doctors have put out, you know, the physical. No doctors have flagged it. Like, you don't believe the doctors. And go ahead. Cut 11.
Really, you know, take the premise of your question. I think it is incredibly insulting. And so we can move on to the next question.
Gas prices and grocery prices, then, big topics here in North Carolina. How does Mr. Biden win votes when people don't have as much disposable income?
Look, the president understands. He grew up in a middle-class family, a working-class family in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He gets it. He understands how difficult it is for Americans who are sitting around their kitchen table every month trying to figure out what they're going to pay for.
So I like it. He says, all right, you don't want to talk about what everyone wants to know. Then let's talk about what things are costing. Let's talk about it. And look, she's just so flustered. You can see it. She's like, I can't believe I'm having to actually answer questions. Who knew? Who knew that it was going to be the job of the press secretary to answer questions that everyone wanted to know about the president of the United States and about whether or not, when she says it's insulting, the premise of your question, it's just so insulting. The premise of her question isn't insult. It's insulting to think the American people don't deserve an answer to this question, to think that you can just go buy it. And so, like, all right, so, like, let's talk about inflation, which, again, her tactic now, she dodges a little bit. Then she blames the Russians. Then she hangs up. Go ahead. Cut 12.
Let's not forget, Russia's invasion on Ukraine skyrocketed prices of gas. And because the president took action, we are in a different place than we were a year ago on gas prices. eggs, milk, seafood products, all the important groceries, those costs have gone down because of what this president has been able to do. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow. Wow.
She hung up.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I love it. I mean, it shows how fragile these people are, and Karine Jean-Pierre in particular, that when she gets in this area of being uncomfortable, her impulse is to just end the conversation. She gets two questions, one about Joe Biden and his mental state. Does he have dementia? Which, by the way, is a yes or no question. You just say no. Next question. If that's the answer, if that's true, if that's the true answer, just say no. Don't say, oh, it's insulting. It's insulting for you to pretend that people don't care, they're not interested, or that it's an illegitimate question. Everyone's talking about it. Again, I go ask anyone in your life, whether they're Republican, Democrat, independent, whether you talk politics with them, you don't, whether you can or you can't, just say, hey, out of curiosity, I'm curious. Do you think Joe Biden is mentally fit? Like, do you think, like, he's fit? No one's going to say yes. Find me a person. Karine Jean-Pierre is saying that this is an insulting question. Is an insult to Americans, insult to the audience, an insult to her job, her history. She's a history maker. History maker Karine Jean-Pierre. It's insulting. All right. We're coming up on a break. Before we do that, though, Jared, I've never stayed at the Nassau Beach, and I know you have. And I'm just impressed by the great deals that they have going on right now.
Yeah, you should sometime. You'd love it. And I say that to everybody, because when my wife and I went down, we loved how tranquil and peaceful it was down at the Nassau Beach Inn. We went in December in the off season, but they have great rates for April and May, which is still the off season in the Cape that you want to take advantage of. Like I said, my wife and I, we love the tranquility. We also loved how close you are to the beach. Whatever room you're in, you're just steps from the beach. We love sitting by the fire pit and watching the sunrise, drinking our morning coffee. They have a fireplace in every room with a nice picture window. So no matter how you want to enjoy the view and be cozy and warm, you can do that. They're pet friendly. You can bring your dog down there. There are hiking trails around there. There's plenty to do. And the rates, you're not going to beat these rates. They're not going to be beat anywhere else. Right now, book your April stay at the Nassau Beach Inn from $249.99 a night. And in May, rates from $259.99 a night. That's incredible value for the Cape. Don't delay, because these rooms go fast. Nassau Beach Inn is pet friendly, has a view from every room, and check-in is contactless. Again, these rates, April from $249.99 a night and May from $259.99 a night. To reserve your ocean view room, go to NassauBeachInn.com now. That's NassauBeachInn.com.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I am Aaron Chadbourne, sitting in for Grace, who is off on spring break. I hope that she and Will and the baby are having a great, great vacation. Thanks so much for being with us. 844-500-4242, the number here on The Grace Curley Show. I haven't gotten to, I meant to talk about the court ruling that has said, and another. Stop me if you've heard this story before. Federal appeals court is prohibiting Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott from implementing the new Texas law that would allow them to enforce their border. This is ridiculous. Like, shouldn't Texas be allowed to say this is Texas? Like, we're going to enforce federal law. We're going to take matters in our own hands where it affects the rule of law and the security of our citizens. I don't know how these courts get authority over it. I mean, it's going to have to let it play out. That's what the legal system is there for. But it's pretty clear that who does this benefit? It benefits Mexico. It benefits the cartels. It benefits, I guess, the Biden administration and their preferred policies, which is to just have, despite what Jen Psaki lied to the American people about, to have an open border. And the repurposing of the Border Patrol. Talk about morale being at an all-time historic low. To force the Border Patrol to no longer, I don't know, patrol the border and actually enforce our laws, their 100% job these days is to process immigrants, open the border, move people through. It's like really not what they signed up to do. It's not their job. And here you have the courts telling the governor of Texas that he can't enforce the law. I mean, it was always going to be a bit of a legal showdown because of the role of the federal government versus the state. He was wading into it. But the court has said is even in the interim, while you wait for this to play out, you have to you can't enforce the law. We're going to put it on hold. They could allow them to start enforcing the border while they wait for this to play out. You know, like we could absolutely do. But instead, they're saying, nope, let as many people in as possible. And that, I think, does more damage. Kind of like in the Trump case. Right? In the Trump case, you had to stay on the implementation because they're saying, well, if you turn over all our assets that gave them to you and we later reverse it, that's going to do harm. Right. And so they're going to stay the implementation of many of and that, you know, all of the other things that they ruled that Trump had to do, which was give up control, no longer operate a business in the state of New York. Those things would be harmful in the interim while you wait for it to play out in the courts. Just like here, telling Texas that they can't enforce federal law and they can't defend and enforce their borders. That is doing, I think, irreversible harm to the state of Texas and to our country. And I don't think the federal government is there. There is this. I have to learn more about this too. There's this new concept that I learned about watching the news this week on people who aren't runaways. They're not getaways. They're walkaways. There's this phenomenon at the border that if the border patrol is too busy to process you, there are too many people going through. A judge will just say, "Okay, well, we don't have time to process you, so I guess we're good here," and then people who have entered this country illegally or they came in and claimed asylum knowing they probably wouldn't get it because they don't have the processing capacity. They just say, okay, well, you're good. Nothing we can do. And they let them walk away into the country and never to be seen or heard from again. Like, this is not an orderly system. This is not the rule of law. And when Texas tries to take matter in their own hands, enforce the border, enforce federal law, they're told, oh, no, stand down. We got this. We're not going to do this because Biden, you know, says there's nothing he can do. He's doing everything. He needs more money. He needs the Republicans to give him more power to then ignore the laws that are on the books. We need to give him mandates and force people to actually enforce the border and enforce the law. All right. So final day, this is going to be my last comment on Ronna McDaniel. I do want to see what happens though in the coming days. Because you now have these emboldened on-air personalities at NBC and MSNBC. And if you think that that's the end of the story, it's not. Our attention now needs to turn to what are the implications for election coverage and how elections are going to be covered throughout the mainstream media. Because the gauntlet has been thrown down by NBC to say, if you're affiliated with Donald Trump, you're not welcome here. We're not going to let you put the case that someone other than Joe Biden, other than the current incumbent president, should be president. He is the main other person. You know, the same reason that they're not giving RFK Jr. Secret Service protection. They don't want to acknowledge that there are other serious candidates out here. And Donald Trump is the Republican nominee. He's locked it up. He's going to be the nominee. These trials that are going on are bringing more people to support him because they're outraged by what's going on and how it's being conducted. So you're going to have to let people that support Donald Trump on the airwaves in order to plead their case. You can't just black them out. But that's where this story goes next. And that's why it's been important to follow. I think it was interesting. I think the intrigue, the getting fired, the leaving, like all of that, whatever, the uncoupling, conscientious uncoupling, the rescission, the annulment. Okay, fine. But now what we got to turn our attention to is what comes next. How does this impact the election? We'll dive into that tomorrow when I'm back in for Grace Curley. But now Howie Carr is coming up next. Thanks for being with us on The Grace Curley Show.